standard MOU agreement is two base years with an optional 3 years. So they're flexible from the conversation I had yesterday to how we want to, you know, set up our agreement with the town. I'm of the mindset that maybe we should use a 1 year and maybe 4 year optional term period as our agreement, just because Mother Nature is really the rule, you know, is the ultimate determination factor of seasonal locations. And so, I mean, if you have a flop year, well, I guess it would be contingent each year. But I would say let's just get our feet wet to then make determination of if this is definitely within the scope moving forward of an opportunity for the program. So it could be 1 or 2 base years.
That piggybacks up to my comment, because you mentioned somebody asked about the upfront fee, it being, say, $20,000, the operator's portion. And as you mentioned in the agreement or the thing you sent us, it had a percentage, like every couple of months it was 10%, then 15%, then 30%. I would think maybe the operator could go on like a, not a payment plan, but something along that lines, because to come up with $20,000 in April before you open is going to be tough. But maybe, you know, especially if you just mentioned if the weather is a bad spring, you're not making any money, you know. But if you gave them that percentage scale based on what they gave us, that would probably be an idea of a way to go.
Absolutely. And you know what else I was thinking too, because again, I'm not here to try to ruin anyone's life. I'm here to provide the best opportunity for all of you. So what I was thinking is, let's say Mother Nature took over this whole year, I mean this whole season, then that operator wouldn't be on the hook for anything. Okay, like we just tried it didn't work, but I'm not going to set something up who essentially made no money and then say, oh no, you signed here, you know, $20,000 was the agreement. If the operator doesn't at least, and I guess I would put that in the agreement, doesn't at least yield minimum wage, then she's not on the hook for anything, right? Because I don't want anyone going anywhere to lose money and then still be obligated to fulfill an agreement based off of something that out of their control. So there will be some sort of, and again, it's something that I got to think about, I got to run it by my fiscal manager to make sense and be fair. That's all I'm trying to do. Is provide something that's fair and
Sorry, Tyrell, this is Frank.
Yep.
We're just weighing in on yes, go forward right now, or no, don't go forward. Is that all we're weighing in on today?
Yeah, I would say at this point, based off of everything that I provided you guys, there's an operator of interest who, as to date, qualifies, what we believe qualifies to resume. And so I'm just looking for the determination, do we want to go forward with this opportunity? And, you know, just reminding you all that it's just to proceed with the process, because at the end of the day, I still am going to need RSA's approval to allow us to spend the $40,000. In addition, there's an application, a pretty big application, nothing crazy, but there's an application the middle required to the town in which they would approve. So, you know, what I'm looking for today is just to be able to get back to the town of Greenwich to say, yes, we'd like to utilize our first right opportunity. We'll be in touch, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so...
I lost you guys for a second there, so this may have been asked and answered. Is the person not receiving service at the site because their contract is up and it's now our turn to decide on it, or are they not returning because they're done with it, or for some other reason that we're not aware of?
Nope. Good question. The reason why the current operator is done is because he's made his money, as he stated to me, and it's a lot of work. So the reality is, himself, his wife, and his son were really key into the operation during their 2-year stint. There was a lot of hires and quits, you know, and those are things that concern me, right? Because again, we're so far. He said that, you know, his wife and his son basically told them that they no longer want to resume. It was just too much for them, and the responsibility that comes with it.
Tyrell.
Yep.
Sorry, this is Shelly again. I know they said it's profitability is about 100 or maybe over 100,000, but to consider payroll for 6 employees at minimum, and then the contractual agreement to pay that fee, is that even a viable location to make money?
Yes, because the payroll is not included in the profitability.
Okay.
So when I say, you know, this, whether contingent, managing it properly, doing everything you're supposed to, this could easily be well over $100,000 location.
Not even including the okay, I thought payroll was still a part of that. Okay.
No, payroll.
After all expenses, you're talking about.
After all expenses, correct.
Okay, clarity. Thank you very much. Got it.
All right, so...
One more interjection question. So as somebody who runs a site that is a 7-day operation during the summertime, is the person that is looking into this, part of my concern is, are they prepared and ready to be working 7 days a week for 6 months of the year? And then also my second question is, you said that you would do something about, you know, making sure that they at least made a minimum wage salary. Would that be a minimum wage salary in the 6 months that they work, or a minimum wage salary for the year?
Well, okay, two things. One, I would say that the operator of interest understands all that the responsibilities that come with this location. You know, I think the good thing is, and moving forward is how we should operate, is any opportunity that comes our way, any operator who has interest, I would like them on site so they can understand exactly what, you know, they're going to be responsible for. So this person...
Tyrell, this is Adam. I had a question. I wondered whether the operator would be blind who would be running the Todd's Point Beach, the Greenwich Beach.
Hey, Adam. So, Adam, I'll answer your question, but you can't chime in because you're not a committee member. But to answer your question,
okay.
Yes. They are a blind operator. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Where was I? I'm looking at my notes. So the operator understands the realm of responsibility. The operator has started to kind of put a team together in preparation of the possibility of operating. And to answer the question in regards to 20,000, I'm not stating that I'm ensuring the operator makes at least 20,000. What I'm stating is, if an operator at least makes 20,000, then, you know, I would say that. Let me try to clarify. So we as an agency can't pay an operator, right? So I can't pay anybody to do anything. So I won't go to work. But what I'm saying is, I want an operator to at least make 20,000. If the operator makes 15,000, or, you know, whatever the minimum wage is, if she makes less than, then essentially I would want her portion of responsibility to be completely waived. Like, I don't want to cut into her minimum wage that she made.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
Yeah, that's all. But yes, the operator, understands that the field rep has been in constant communication and, you know, running a lot of scenarios and so forth with them, and, you know, they seem interested. This is our program. We're here to provide opportunity. If opportunity should come its way, and within our program, we have staff members that are hired to ensure that, you know, we position operators in the best manner we can. But let me be clear, the operator at the end of the day has to want it more than the field rep or myself. Okay, so
That's all I can
Brandy,
say.
Brandy, my last and final question, I promise. So you said how the person who takes the site would not, in the same way that, you know, people in Hartford do, you know what I mean? But that person would still be eligible for their week's vacation. You would still be giving them their, you know, if they wanted to take a week's vacation, they would be able to use the field for that, right? You would provide them still with that ability like we all get, no matter where their location is, correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but, you know, I would think that respectfully and being a responsible business manager, you're going to have your key person in place.
Year, not the, yeah. And I mean, I'm sorry, right. If it was a year on site, because I think as you know, we don't get that ability, but she did it first.
Right, right, yeah, so, you know, first and foremost,
to the break, we all are.
Right, right, no, definitely. But I'd say, like, if you're trying, if any operator, and this just doesn't go for this location, any operator who's trying to leave during peak period, and, you know, we can define peak periods, and it could be essentially the summer for seasonal locations, we would ask that, you know, you as a manager would at least put in play your key person to maybe pick up one or more responsibilities and not try to take off during a peak period. But if that's, you know, if that's the period in which you choose, then as a program, we'll figure it out. I mean, you know, that's what we do. So I would just say be respectful and considerate in taking your allowable 1 week vacation.
So we're nearing the end of our time window. Is there any other question that we really need answered before we move this to vote? Okay, so I'd ask anybody to make a motion to...
I, Brandy, make a motion to move forward with the Greenwich proposal.
Do I have a second?
I second. I'll move forward with the Greenwich location.
You aim a second, okay, so all in favor say aye.
I'm sorry, who seconded?
Aye.
Amos
for Corbin.
Thank you.
Any opposed say no? Any abstentions? Motion carried.
All right, so I'm quickly moving along. Island Beach, so that was the second beach location. This one's to be pretty quick. 30,000 visitors.
Yeah, we learned just open.
Yeah. With 30,000 visitors a year on average at the Island Beach location. This is a location within Greenwich, minutes away from the other location we just mentioned. However, you have to take a ferry to get to the actual location. The number one concern I had the minute we walked there was, how are you going to get food over there, right? So the ferries run, I want to say, every, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour each day, and the food service providers would not be catching the ferry dropping your food items off. So essentially you would have to meet your City Line or your Cisco, your food provider, to pick up your food. So that would definitely pose a problem. This location is not outfitted with any equipment. You can only use propane because it is on the island. So it's a propane filled up location. There is a license fee with this location as well. At this time, they haven't really defined what that fee was going to be. They said roughly around, he thought maybe somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000, but no more than $10,000 a year. Inflammable product that you were looking to transport, that would be required to be transported over, would have to be transported over only on the 9 a.m. ferry. And should weather be problematic, it would definitely disturb the viability of the location, as this already has a low population. Me personally, I would not recommend accepting this location. I saw way too many red flags. In addition, this location was ran by a disability group called Ableist last year during the peak of COVID, and they actually operated it with no license fee because the town wasn't certain on the profitability, but they still wanted to provide concession opportunity for those that visit the island. What was told to me was this particular operation is visited more with families. It's more of a smaller kids, husband and wife type of operation. So when you look at the 30,000 visitors and you kind of think about that, you got to kind of break it down to being less than 30,000, because if the babies are being considered a visitor, then it's really not a true number of patrons that come along the island. So they even stated that Town of Greenwich even believes that this is not a high profitability location by any stretch of the imagination. So that's what we have.
With obviously more work involved, this was Frank.
Yeah, correct.
So does anyone want to make a motion to pass on this? There would be no vending rights to try and hold on to, correct?
Correct. But, if we waive it, we'll put that blurb in our waiver that should be pending. We'll acknowledge sending in the waiver if we waive.
Does someone want to make the motion to waive it, the locations?
I, Brandy, make a motion to waive the island.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'm Carmella. I second the motion.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions?
Okay, Middlesex Community College. As many of you have just been on the previous call in regards to Manchester and our concerns, I did state that there was another college that I had high concerns for, and kind of assumed that we would be having this conversation at our next meeting, and this is the conversation that we unfortunately have to have. Middlesex Community College has been identified this semester to provide no profit at all. Essentially, to date, the operator is $13,000 in the negative, and the only reason why the operator has resumed operation up to this point is because she received PPP funds. Had she not had PPP funds to offset the continued weekly losses, this would have been a location that we probably wouldn't even have been able to operate for the first month. I think over the years, I've seen decline in this facility, unfortunately, and then COVID just kind of really enhanced the decline of the facility. I did speak with the college head yesterday evening, preparing her for the possibility of the need to have to waive this location moving forward. As frustrating as it is on both sides, I was definitely met with understanding. And I just, there's just nothing we can do to provide a viable opportunity for any operator that moves forward. Helen Schrammick is the operator at Middlesex Community, and she has decided to retire. So after I believe 15 years in the program, but this is a premature retire. She didn't anticipate retiring this semester, but her frustrations have grown to the point where, in fact, this Thursday is her last day. She doesn't even want to finish out the remaining few days of operation because it's just very, very dead as far as population coming through. to patronize the operation. I personally was in the operation 2 weeks ago myself during what I would consider peak lunchtime, 12 to 2, and I saw myself maybe 3 or 4.
Hold on, Tyrell. If someone is banging stuff around, please mute your phone.
Yeah, I was in the operation a couple weeks ago, and during peak time, 12 to about 1:15, and it was 3 to 4 customers, it's slow. And, you know, as I stated to Middlesex yesterday, you know, COVID caused this. This isn't anything that, you know, we did, and she agreed. She said, you know, had COVID not come into play, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So, you know, I was pleased for her to understand that, you know, if there's any changes being done in the building, we will try to make the necessary changes to run parallel to those the population which we serve. But once we maximize our changes, there's nothing else we can do. There just isn't. You know, we sat on this call for about an hour, and there was just nothing creatively we can come up with that could provide an opportunity. Because, you know, the one thing that we have to understand is when someone's negative $12,000, the first goal is to get you to zero. So whatever changes you're doing, you got to do a lot of changes. And there's nothing that we need to change. It's, the change needs to occur with the administration, with essentially allowing for more population to enter on the campus. So it's unrealistic to think that we can modify our business practice to absorb a negative loss and then start to provide a viable opportunity. So, unfortunately, I think this location has come to an end for us now. And I did state to her that, you know, should, again, similar to Manchester, should they decide not to resume operations for the calendar year 2022, and then maybe should something change top of 2023, where population is significantly increased, then, you know, we would certainly need to be, you know, re-notified for our first right of opportunity. But if they find someone in which, you know, we'll pick up an agreement during, if we waive this opportunity, then obviously we have to
I'm sorry, Tyrell, I have to stop you. There's too much background noise.
You know,
I'm sorry, Tyrell, I have to stop you. There's too much background noise.
Whoever does not have their phone muted, can you please mute your phone? Please. You know, in speaking with the college head yesterday, she did state that, you know, there is a lot of action behind the scenes going on with, you know, the potential merge, I guess, of all of the colleges. So he says there's just a lot of uncertainties as far as not so much the food service, but just, you know, their day-to-day operational expectations and how they're going to move forward just as a college, not to affect our existing responsibilities. So, this is where we are with Middlesex, and I cannot recommend this opportunity to anyone. Not when a facility is in the negative, I can't recommend it. If a facility is making maybe low profit, I can, because we have the option to provide an incentive, right? So I can pick your $5,000 up to make it look like $10,000. I can't pick you up out of the negative. If you make negative, there's no incentive to that. So that's why I personally cannot recommend moving forward with this location.
This is Rich speaking. I was brought in a few years ago to go down there and kind of see what was going on as far as menu and pricing and whatnot, along with Ed and Tony Ferreira. And it wasn't doing well then. And this was, you know, going back at least 4 or 5 years ago. And she was complaining about profitability at that point in time. So I don't think this is a big loss for us, even if it wasn't COVID driven. So that's my 2 cents on that place.
I agree. To piggyback off of Rich, you know, again, obviously I've always looked at all your business reports throughout the years, and I've always seen a constant decline in Middlesex. And so
I could probably say that I figured this would definitely be a topic of discussion, but I just think COVID just pushed it right up to the forefront going forward. So
I agree.
I agree too. Okay, so does anyone else have anything to interject before I take it to a vote? All right. Does someone want to make a motion to move forward with the closure of Middlesex?
This is
your time. Hi, Brandy. I'll second Rich's motion.
You don't know what he said yet.
Yeah,
go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I make the motion to go ahead and waive the Middlesex Community College account.
I still second the motion.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carried. And what do you want to do with the fact that we're pretty much 2:30? Can we table the rest of the agenda till next week?
No, we can, let's go through it. We can go through it. Let's go through it. I will, we can go through it. All right, so next, the United States Coast Guard Academy. This is more or less an agency update. Unfortunately, we didn't win the bid for the Coast Guard. You know, it is sad. There was an apparent discrepancy in information during our process in which, you know, really had given us the thought, the mindset that this was, I don't want to say in the bag, but certainly in favor to our program. However, we initially had received notification that we did not win the bid, and certainly this drew concern to the program, Dave, his teaming partner, and so much so that we went back to the Coast Guard and asked them to clarify their determination because we just didn't feel that we received our fair process in negotiation, and furthermore, we had received notification that kind of stated to us that we were in the competitive range, and so at that point, you know, we were prepared to what we thought negotiate, kind of fine tune, and then really land spot on to obtaining the opportunity. The Coast Guard did respond back with additional information that clearly identified their determination, and you know, and essentially the information they provided determined satisfactory to our Attorney General's office, as well as to the outside counsel in which Dave's teaming partner hired to further the discussion. So it was an unfortunate event, but you know, Dave did a great job in really pursuing his interest in the location, and I think, you know, we did everything on our end to kind of fight what we thought was a fair fight up to the point of you know, obviously receiving information that we, as a whole, felt was satisfactory not to go further in arbitration. I think I personally learned a lot in the process. You know, like they say, everything's a learning process. You know, good or bad, it definitely is a learning process, and I've learned a lot from it. So, in 5 years, I think I'll just be a little bit better. I don't want to say prepared, because we did everything we were supposed to, but I'll have more knowledge as to kind of just peeking at certain areas to say, or okay, that seems fair. So, but Dave did a great job. So, that's
all. So we wouldn't be shying away from an opportunity like this in the future.
No, not at all. I think if anything, we just do exactly what we did this time around. I don't really say, from an administrative standpoint, I don't think there was anything that we could have done better. I think we, believe it or not, did some things in record time. You know, we got some approvals up front in the beginning, and essentially the Attorney General's blessing to move forward. I think we got in record time. You know, historically, because when we went for this opportunity 10 years ago, it was a big deal. It took a while to get